بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، اما بعد. الحمد لله. Tonight is the 4th of October in the year 2013. And alhamdulillah, tonight is the 29th of Zulqa'dah. So this may be the last night of the holy month before the blessed month of Zulhijjah starts. So to finish the few sessions that I've been going through, a few of the virtues of the glorious first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. And yesterday I mentioned the deeds that one should work around, i.e. to fast the first night, to offer tahajjud during the 10 nights, and to frequently utter the third kalima. But of course, that's the core. Every deed that you do increases manifestly. So just to mention the report again, showing that the rewards are immense. In Darimi and Bayhaqi, Shaykh Al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi says, Hassan in Sahih Al-Targhib, number 1148, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no deed is more sublime and rewardable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than a good deed done during the 10 days, ending with Adha, i.e. the 10th day. So in this authentic report, the Prophet ﷺ said, no deed is more sublime. Now what does that mean? It means no deed is more pleasing to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than in those glorious days. No more rewardable, which means you get the maximum reward for any deed during these 10 blessed days. Thus simply put, one gets maximum rewards for any good deeds that one may perform during these awesome days. But the obvious question is just how much do our good deeds multiply? So again, there's a few reports. In Tabarani in his Kabir 10-246, Bayhaqi in his Sunan al-Kubra 4-284, Hafiz Dimyati rahmatullah alayh in his Al-Majjar al-Rabi fi Thawab al-Amal al-Salih, the reward for good deeds, number 862 of the English translation. Our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, a good deed in these days is multiplied 700 times. A good deed in these days is multiplied 700 times. So if you compare to the holy month of Ramadan, and there's a week report in Tabarani where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have said that the deeds multiply 70 times. And this report again, which has a slight weakness, mentions 700 times. You get the gauge that it's probably 10 times more rewarding than even in the holy month of Ramadan, the good deeds that you perform. But in another report, it mentions, in Bayhaqi, in his Sunnah al-Kubra, Asbahani, Targhib, number 886, Hafiz Dimyati, rahmatullah alayh, in his Al-Majjar al-Rabi, fi Thawab al-Amal al-Salih, the reward for good deeds, number 864 of the English translation. Sayyidina Anas, he said, radiyallahu, in the days of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was generally thought that each of these 10 days were equal to 1,000 days, whilst the day of Arafat was like 10,000 days in His Excellence. SubhanAllah. So the Sahaba, Sayyidina Anas, the servant of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, we considered these 10 days equal to 1,000 days, which means that each of the 10 was like it multiplies roughly 3 years, one day. But Arafat was like 10,000 days. So now if you look at these two reports, what do we take? One's good deeds multiply either 700 to 1,000 times during the first 8 days of Dhul-Hijjah, and then a mind-boggling 10,000 times during the ninth, i.e. the day of Arafat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only knows what rewards you will reach on the greatest of all days, the 10th, i.e. of Dhul-Hijjah. So simply put, inshallah, 700 to 1,000 times each deed multiplies in the first 8 days. So again, you know, an incredible incentive to increase in our deeds. But on the day of Arafat, it multiplies, inshallah, 10,000 times. Imagine, every single deed multiplying 10,000 times. then the question begs, what about the day of Eid? And of course, there's no text because maybe the deeds are too much to put into words. Thus, what would any sane person be waiting for during these blessed days, but than to worship our loving and most generous Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The great Imam Awza'i, he also clarified, rahmatullah alayh, in Bayhaqi, Abu al-Shaykh, Targhib number 887, Fiqh al-Sunnah, volume 2, page 154 of the English translation, Hafiz Dimyati, rahmatullah alayh, in his Al-Majjar al-Rabih, fi thawab al-amal al-salih, the reward for good deeds, number 865 of the English translation, Imam Awza'i, rahmatullah alayh, said, it has reached me that a deed on one of the 10 days is similar in fighting jihad fi sabilillah, fasting during its days and guarding during its nights, except for him who becomes a martyr. He added, a man radiyallahu anhu from the tribe of Bani Makhzum related this to me from the Prophet. So Allahu Akbar, so look at this incredible report. And this is authentic. Imam Awza'i rahmatullah alayhi, he said, a deed you do in the 10 days. So it seems to be an open book. Whatever deed you do is similar to jihad. Any deed you do is similar to jihad and fasting during the day and guarding during the night. Which means the rewards increase incredibly by the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you do not get the maqam of a martyr. If a person is martyr, like I mentioned yesterday, he's great. And then Imam Awza'i said, I took this from a man from the Bani Makhzum who related from the Prophet himself. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now, just to mention an example of one great individual who set the standard. And it's Mujahid, rahmatullah alayhi, he relates. In Bayhaqi, Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states, Hassan in Irwa ul-Ghalil, number 809, Mujahid rahmatullah alayhi, he said, once the 10 days started, Sa'id ibn Jubair rahmatullah alayhi would exert in worship so much so that it was almost beyond his capability. Once the 10 days started, Sa'id ibn Jubair rahmatullah alayhi would exert in worship so much so that it was almost beyond his capability. And this is a Hassan hadith. So, what do we know about Sa'id ibn Jubair rahmatullah alayh? He was a senior tabi'in. And he was the famous student of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu. He was the last person that Hajjaj bin Yusuf martyred. The great Sa'id ibn Jubair rahmatullah alayh. So obviously, he's a well-known personality. And his worship normally was phenomenal. You know, there's reports about him praying all night, fasting most of his life, etc., etc. So keeping that in mind, this report is even more mind-boggling. They said that once these days started, these 10 days, it looked like it was impossible what he was doing. In other words, you could not emulate it. Which means he was so time-conscious in these 10 days. Every second was worth too much for him. And he goes, it looked like he was just doing too much. He was in a collapse from worship. So subhanAllah, such was the understanding of our glorious teachers. And this is why the whole matter is beautifully summed up in one beautiful hadith. In Ibn Hibban, Bazar and others, Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih, in Sahih al-Jami, number 1133, and Sahih al-Targhib, number 1150. Sayyidina Jabir radiyallahu, he relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best days in the world are the 10 days. The best days in the world are the 10 days, i.e. of Zulhijjah. So, I mentioned two nights back the glorious Quran. Yesterday I talked about the deeds that one would do well to get into their lives during these blessed days. And today I just mentioned, simply put, why, how great the rewards are with regards to these blessed days that are approaching. So to conclude this matter with regards to these great days, to mention a few things about the Qurban. So the first report, in Ibn Majah, Hakim in his Mustadrak 2-389, Sahih, Targhib, number 815, Hafiz Dimyati rahmatullah alayh in his Al-Matjal Al-Rabi fi Thawab Al-Amr Al-Salih, the reward for good deeds, number 890 of the English translation. Sayyidina Zayd ibn Arq radiyallahu, he relates. The companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum once asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what are these sacrificial animals? What is the reason for this? He responded sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is the way of your father Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam. So look how interesting. The Sahaba asked about the animals that were being sacrificed during the Hajj. Why do we do this, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And the Prophet clearly elucidated sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is the path of your father Ibrahim. He was going to sacrifice his son. So this is a reminder of that awesome day that he was going to sacrifice his son on the glorious day, the greatest day on earth, the 10th of Zulhijjah. What is the worth of the sacrifice? In Tirmidhi is Hasan Gharib Ibn Majah, Hakim in his Mustadrak 4-221, Sahih, Zahabi Sahih, Tarheeb number 815. Hafiz Dimyati rahmatullah alayh in his Al-Matjar Al-Rabi fi Thawab Al-Amr Al-Salih, the reward for good deeds, number 884 of the English translation. Our beloved mother Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anha, he relates that her exalted husband sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ma amila adamiyan min amalin yawman nahri ahabba ilallahi min ihraqi dam. Man does not do any deed on the day of sacrifice that is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than causing blood to flow, i.e. from the sacrificial animal. You should therefore carry out this wholeheartedly. So let's look at this. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he clearly mentioned that on the greatest day of the Islamic year, the 10th of Zulhijjah, there is no deed more beloved to your Lord than to cause blood to flow, i.e. to sacrifice. And then he said something very interesting to the sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you should therefore carry this out wholeheartedly. Now what does that mean? What it simply means is that there is obviously a natural conscience. You don't want to slaughter the animal. It's out of pity and kindness. And in fact, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about this. The Sahaba goes, I feel pity, Ya Rasulullah, thinking there's something wrong with that. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you'll be rewarded for this. In other words, don't worry about that. Allah Ta'ala knows that this is something that's good. However, that should not prevent you from slaughter. Right? And also there's a touching hadith in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sacrificed 63 camels in his farewell pilgrimage. And the report says that the camels were all competing to be the first. So think about that. The camels knew that they were going to get sacrificed. Were they pulling back? They were competing. So the animals also know that this is a noble thing, a beautiful thing for them to give their lives. Therefore, both ways is covered. And Allah Ta'ala, of course, says in Surah Al-Hajj, it is not their blood and meat that reaches him, it is your piety. Simply put, the most beloved deed on the greatest day of the year is to offer a sacrifice. So let us rush to perform this deed. Obvious question, what is the reward for offering a sacrifice? Few reports. In Tabarani in his Kabir, Al-Haytami in Majma' al-Zawaid 4-17, Hafiz Dimyati rahmatullah alayh in his Al-Matjad al-Rabi fi Thawab al-Amr al-Salih, the reward for good deeds, number 888 of the English translation. The illustrious grandson of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Hassan radiyallahu, he heard from his unparalleled grandfather that he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever sacrifices wholeheartedly and expects a reward for his sacrifice, it will be a barrier for him from the fire of hell. Whoever sacrifices wholeheartedly and expects a reward for his sacrifice, it will be a barrier for him from the fire of hell. Think about that. What greater thing could you take from any deed for it to protect you from the fire? So this hadith indicates it's an awesome protection from the fire of hell. A second report in Tirmidhi. Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anha, she relates that our beloved Messenger said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for every hair of the sacrifice, one good deed is recorded. For every hair of the sacrifice, one good deed is recorded. In another report, in Tabarani and Bazar, our beloved Messenger said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the first drop of blood, all your past sins are forgiven. With the first drop of blood, all your past sins are forgiven. Subhanallah. So let's put all this together. What are the rewards for the sacrifice? You can mention three things, amongst other things. The first, which is the greatest, it is an awesome protection from the fire of hell. Secondly, countless number of deeds are recorded into your account. And thirdly, with the first drop of blood, all your sins are forgiven. So think about this. We've got our good deeds, we've got our sins. It works on both scales. In terms of your good deeds, you get countless number of deeds for each hair. In terms of your sins, with the first drop of blood, it wipes it all out. So this is again the awesome sacrifice that's been given graciously by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another thing, that this is a sunnah that is becoming abandoned. So if it's possible, we should try to do this. One should strive to attend where the sacrifice takes place. You don't need to sacrifice. If you can, alhamdulillah. The important thing is to attend. Why? In Tabarani, Bazar Ibn Hibban, Abu al-Shaykh Asbahani, Targhib number 817, Fatawa Rahimiya, volume 2, page 71 of the English translation, Sayyidina Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu relates, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said to Fatima radiyallahu, Ya Fatima, Kumi ila udhiyatika fa ushhadiha fa inna laki bi awwali qataratin taqturu min damiha ay yughfar laki ma salafa min dhunubik. O Fatima radiyallahu, stand near your offering, be witness to the sacrifice, because all your former sins shall be forgiven with the first drop of blood. Fatima thereupon asked radiyallahu, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is this meant only for us, the Ahlul Bayt, the people of your house, or is it for other Muslims as well? He responded sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ballana walil muslimin, it is for us as well as the other Muslims, oh my dear daughter. So now think about this. Why do you need to attend? Because when you see the sacrifice, it has a far greater impact on you. And just think, if somebody could tell you this, don't you wish to observe the moment that all your sins are forgiven? So which one would say no? You think, of course I'd love that, but how do I know if my sins are forgiven? Go to the sacrifice. The first drop of blood that hits the ground, you should be smiling. Like a Cheshire cat, thinking, Allahu Akbar, Allah Ta'ala has forgiven all my sins. A second report in Asbahani, Targhib, Hafiz Dimyati, Rahmatullah Ali, in Al-Matjal Ar-Rabi, Fi Thawab Al-Amul Al-Salih, the reward for good deeds, from 885 of the English translation, our beloved messenger added, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the day of judgment, the sacrifice shall be brought with all its flesh and blood, and it shall be put onto your scale of deeds 70-fold. And on the day of judgment, it shall be brought with all its flesh and blood, and it shall be put on your scale of deeds 70-fold. So imagine, it's done all of this already. Wiped out your sins. For each hair, you get all those rewards. It's a great barrier from the protection of the fire. And then, it's not going to waste. Allah then goes, now put it on the scales and multiply it 70 times. The female folk should attend. This is another thing, if they can. In addition, not only this, it is recommended that one sacrifices the animal oneself. In Bayhaqi, in his Sunan al-Kubra, volume 9, page 283, the daughters of Abu Musa, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, used to slaughter their animal with their own hands. The daughters of Abu Musa, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, used to slaughter their animal with their own hands, women. Some people say men should do it. Where does it say that? Women can also do it. And this is an authentic report in Bayhaqi. Another question people ask about the sacrifice. How long have I got to offer the sacrifice? The time for offering the sacrifice is on the day of Eid, after the Eid prayer. It extends through the days of Tashriq, the 11th, the 12th and the 13th, until the sunset of the 13th. The Imam made a mistake in Juma today. He said the 12th, that's not correct. The 10th, the 11th, the 12th and the 13th, until the sun sets. Where's the proof? In Ahmad ibn Hibban and others, Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi says, Hassan in As-Sahihah, number 2476, Sayyidina Jubair ibn Mut'im, radiyallahu, He relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the days of tashriq are for sacrifice. All the days of tashriq are for sacrifice. However, one should strive one's utmost to offer the sacrifice after the Eid prayer on the day of Eid itself. Why? Because not to lose any rewards. Because what did the Prophet clearly say? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I mentioned the hadith. In Tirmidhi, Hassan Gharib ibn Majah, Hakim Sahih, Zahabi Sahih. مَا أَمَلِ عَادَمِيًّا مِنْ عَمَلٍ يَوْمَ النَّحْرِ أَحَبَّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ إِحْرَاقِ الدَّمِ. Man does not do any deed on the day of sacrifice that is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than causing blood to flow. You should therefore carry out this wholeheartedly. So the Prophet clearly mentioned the best time is on the day of Eid, but it must be after the Eid prayer. To conclude with the words of the Exalted, in which the magnificent deed of sacrifice is mentioned. In Surah Al-Safat, Surah 37, verse 107-8, the Almighty and Glorious says, أَوْذِ بَاللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْهٍ عَظِيمٍ وَتَرَقْنَا عَلَيْهِ فِي الْآخِرِينَ. And we ransomed him with a momentous sacrifice, and we left for him amongst generations in later times. So let's look at this holy verse. So what does Allah the Almighty and Glorious say? He says, we ransomed him. Who's him? I, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, instead. We ransomed him instead with a momentous sacrifice. And we left this blessing for him amongst all the generations to come. So Allah the Almighty and Glorious says that Ismail was the one to be slaughtered. Allah Ta'ala replaced it with a ram from paradise. And what did he say? بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ. It's an immense sacrifice. Immense. And we've left it. Abdullah ibn Abbas said about verse 107 of Surah As-Safat in Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir in their respective tafsirs. It was a ram which grazed in paradise for 40 years. It was a ram which had grazed in paradise for 40 years. Rams don't live that long, but they're not in paradise. If you were a ram, that obviously everything in paradise does not die. Think about that. You know what dies in paradise? The ram had to be taken out of paradise to die. Think about that. 40 years is grazed, then it's taken out of paradise, probably Firdaus, and then it was slaughtered. Where? In Mina. Right? And the Jews have a serious problem with all this. Why? Because it's honoring Makkah. It's honoring Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. It's mentioning the holy Kaaba, the vicinity. So what have they done? They've taken everything away from them. Because no, it was in Jerusalem. It was Ishaq. But the rest is true. So you can see they're trying to hide the holy, you know, the holy city on earth. But again, you know who they're trying to hide from? Astaghfirullah. In Ahmad and Ibn Kathir's tafsir, Abdullah ibn Abbas further clarified, radiyallahu anhu, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam turned and saw a fine horned white ram. He added, we thus used to look for similar types of rams. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu saw the sacrifice. It was a fine horned white ram. And the Sahaba then said, we used to look for similar white rams. In one report, you get double the reward. The Prophet would look for white rams. So the Dawah said. So this is the origins of the sacrifice, and how strange that the Jews and Christians go blue in the face talking about Father Abraham, and they don't even remember that. Who are the only people on the earth who remember that sacrifice? Leaving aside the argument which prophet it was. You just talk about it, but we remember it. Not only remember it, it's an obligation upon us, according to most of the scholars. And that's why when he sacrifice, it's a great connection to the holy prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam. The next passage in Surah Al-An'am, Surah 6, verse 162-163, the Almighty and Glorious says, أَوْذِ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَا وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَا وَبِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Say, verily my salah, my sacrifice, my life and my death are all for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Lord of the worlds. No partner has He. This I am commanded, and I am the first of those who bow to his will. So what does it mention clearly in this holy verse? Wa nusuki, my sacrifice. Think about that. Allah Ta'ala could have simply said, your life and death is for me. So we say, but why is salat and sacrifice mentioned? Because salat and sacrifice are beloved deeds to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's actually a report on this, I'll mention it. In Abu Dawud, Ibn Majah, Ahmad Darimi, Mishkat Ibn Kathir's tafsir states, Hasan Lighayn, Sayyidina Jabir relates, radiyallahu, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sacrificed two rams on the day of Eid. When he laid them down to sacrifice, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I turn my face to the one who created the heavens and the earth, being true and sincere in faith, submitting myself to him alone. Then he recited, after saying those words, he recited Surah 6 verse 161 to 163. Hanifa wa ma'ana min al mushrikeen. Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mati lillahi rabbil alameen. La sharika la wa bidhalika umirtu wa ana awwalul muslimin. True in faith, and I join not gods with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Verily my salah, my sacrifice, my life and my death are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Lord of all the worlds. No partner has he. This I am commanded, and I am the first of those who bow to his will. The Prophet also added, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is from you, and I return to you on behalf of Muhammad and his ummah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He thereupon said, Bismillahi wallahu akbar. In the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most great, he then sacrificed them. Question. When a person sacrifices, do you hear all this? So the sacrifice is complete, as long as you take the name of your Lord. But this is all from the Sunnah. Look how beautiful it was. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, recited the Quran. Then he said, this is from you. I'm returning what's yours. In other words, it's not even a sacrifice. Sacrifice means I've given something, but everything belongs to you. I'm returning it to you. And then finally he said, Bismillahi wallahu akbar. In the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah ta'ala is most great, he's then sacrificed them. This is why in Sahih Muslim 3-1567, Nasa'i 7-232 and others, our beloved messenger warned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curse the one who offers a sacrifice to anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curse the one who offers a sacrifice to anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it's an act of worship. Hence the Quran, the second verse of Surah Qawf, for salli li rabbika wanhar, therefore turn to your Lord and sacrifice. Therefore turn to your Lord in salah and sacrifice. Many of the commentators of the glorious Quran have stated this holy verse refers to no other than the sacrifice on the day of Eid al-Adha. Refer to Imam Sayyuti rahmatullah alayh in his Tafsir Jalalain, Hafiz al-Baydawi rahmatullah alayh in his Anwar al-Tanzil 5-342 and others. Look at the command. For salli, pray and sacrifice. For salli li rabbika wanhar. Eid prayer first, then sacrifice. Is mentioned in the Quran. So these are a few facts and figures with regards to the Qurbani. Takbirats. The takbirats start on the day of Arafat, Fajr. On the 9th of Zulhijjah, Fajr, it starts. And it finishes on the last day of Tashriq. So the 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, it finishes at Asr prayer. That's the last time you utter it, but you can recite up to the Maghrib. So it's 5 days, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, until the Maghrib. But the last obligatory prayer you recited is after the Asr prayer on the 13th. What are the takbirats? There's three in the authentic reports. The most famous is Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd. An even easier authentic version, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Kabira. And there's another authentic version, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd, Allahu Akbar wa ajallu, Allahu Akbar, Allama Hadana. So all of this should be said. So simply put, the third kalima is what you focus upon for the first 8 days. Going back to the hadith yesterday. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wa allahu akbar. If you want to add, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. In direct correspondence to the command of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for 8 days. Then from the 9th through the 13th, in all your spare time, you say the takbirat. According to the Hanafis, it's wajib to say after the fard prayer. So you notice that in after the fard prayer, they say loudly once. So again, these are the takbirats, and it's also part of venerating these blessed days. So, all I discussed today was basically a wrap up with regards to a few of the more important things in the glorious 10 days of Zulhijjah. I mentioned first the awesome virtues, how much your deeds multiply. And then I mentioned how the Salaf acted upon these commands given by the Quran and the Hadith. And then I mentioned something about the Qurbani, indicating what the history was and why we do this. And then I mentioned some of the virtues, and then of course the blessed takbirats. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanaka allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wal asr innal insana lafi khusr. Alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat wa tawassaw bil haqq wa tawassaw bis sabr. Sadaqallahu alazim.